Hi. Welcome to the show. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm Ron Van Dam. How are you? Well, unfortunately, this hurricane has been really tough, as you know, with a Category 72 almost. I think it only goes up to 5. The Bahamas just devastated. You can't even imagine what that... It's just totally like... It's there, but there's nothing standing, basically. It's just incredible. This Hurricane Dorian just stayed there for days, just days of pounding, like it's days of tornadoes in one place. It's just unbelievable. But, of course, saying stuff about it is this Donald Trump guy who apparently, in his great wisdom and knowledge, has never heard before of a Category 5 hurricane, even though there have been at least 4 of them since he's been president, and dozens before that. Yeah, can you believe he said that? He did.
We love the people of Florida, and they went through something that I guess the likes of which we could really say nobody's ever seen before. They've never seen a category like this come in, because it came in really at a 5.
It was a Category 5. I never even knew a Category 5 existed, and they suffered greatly.
They say they've never seen winds like this anywhere. Got hit as a 5, Category 5 storm, which literally never happens.
The second one hit Puerto Rico as a Category 5. I don't believe anybody's ever seen that happen before.
It was like having hundreds of tornadoes, the winds. So we've never seen it. It actually touched down as a Category 5. People have never seen anything like that.
And this has been a Category 5, which few people have ever even heard of.
A Category 5. Nobody's ever heard of a 5 hitting land.
You saw the devastating effects of that Category 5 hurricane. Category 5. Never heard about Category 5s before. Category 5 is big stuff.
I'm not sure that I've ever even heard of a Category 5. I knew it existed. And I've seen some Category 4s. You don't even see them that much. But a Category 5 is something that I don't know that I've ever even heard the term, other than I know it's there. That's the ultimate. And that's what we have, unfortunately.
Don, you never heard of a Category 5? They're very rare. You've never experienced one. You've never heard of that. Most people have never heard of a Category 5. Don, when you were running for president, the national election, there was Hurricane Matthew on October 1st, 2016. You were like, you were running for president nationally and you'd never heard of Category 5. Remember Hurricane Irma? Don, remember Hurricane Irma? That was September 5th to September 9th, 2017. You were president at the time. Remember Hurricane Maria, Don? That was September 18th to September 20th. Of the same year, 2017, you were already president, man. Do you remember that? Do you remember Hurricane Michael? Huh? That was October 10th, 2018. Do you remember that? Do you remember throwing out paper towels to people in Puerto Rico? Never heard of a Category 5, Don? Don, you lived in New York. Do you remember New York? Do you remember that? From 1970 to 2019, there were 21 Category 5 hurricanes. Since 1924, there have been 35 hurricanes traveling up the Atlantic, Don, all Category 5s, but you never heard of one before. Oh my God.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh my God. I'm wondering if this Donald Trump guy lies on purpose or whether he's like actually stupid. I think it's a little bit of both. It's a lot of bit of both. I'm not talking about his policies here, man. I'm talking about his intelligence. It's has nothing to do with policy. So in Boston, over last weekend, they had a straight pride parade. Yeah, through the streets of Boston. They applied for a license to march through the streets, and Boston said, okay, whatever. We have gay pride parade, so I might as well have straight pride parade. I guess I can't refuse you. So they went marching through the streets with Donald Trump signs, Donald Trump banners, because apparently the connotation is that Donald Trump represents straight pride. I don't know. And there were many, many arrests, and they're being treated very harshly with these arrests because they were so, like, yelling and screamingly, people. A straight pride parade. You know, it's about time. Straight people have just been persecuted through the years for being straight. The hell's going on? I meant that sarcastically, by the way, for those of you that may not follow my sarcasm. Welcome to the program. How are you? Never heard of a Category 5 hurricane. Are you serious, man? Are you just like trying to look as stupid as possible? He didn't even say that he didn't experience one. He didn't say that. He said he's never heard of one, and most people have never heard of one. And those are really big ones. No kidding, Don. Those are really big ones? Don also said that Hurricane Dorian, which just pummeled and destroyed Bermuda, traveling up the coast, the eastern seaboard there, the North and South Carolina, and all the Myrtle Beach, and the Myrtle, and all those people, and Florida coast, and skirting up the coast there. Donald also said, and also in harm's way is Alabama. That's what he said. Alabama. He tweeted this after a meeting with the National Weather Service and his emergency FEMA crew. He said Alabama was in harm's way. Alabama is like not even going to get a drop of rain. Alabama is not in the path at all. I mean, Don, get a road map, you know, from AAA. Take a look at the map. Alabama is not near this hurricane at all. So, and that was immediate reaction by everybody. But does Donald say, oops, I made a mistake, I misunderstood, or something like that? No, Donald doubles down on his stupidity. And he said, well, every state should be careful when it comes to natural disasters. Don, the hell's wrong with you? Yeah, every state should be. That's not what you said. You said that Alabama was in harm's way from this hurricane. Don. Donald claims that Joe Biden is too old for the job. It's only 3 years older than Don. And Don's display of the ability to grasp information is nil. That means zero. If anybody, it's funny. It's really funny. Everything that Donald Trump says, you can throw back and say it about Donald Trump tenfold. What is that phrase that people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones or something like that? I have no idea. I don't think people live in glass houses anymore. They're not practical, certainly with stones involved. Be careful, Don. Everything you say comes right back at you because you are everything that you claim other people are. Tenfold, folded over 10 times. That's you, Don. Someday this Donald thing will have been ended. I hope that's really, really soon. Someday that will be in the past, even though the destruction that he's left behind in his path, Hurricane Trump, the destruction will be very difficult to rebuild because he's destroyed so much. But someday we're going to look back at this and we're still going to pinch ourselves like, did that really ever happen? Was he really president? Did he really say all that stuff? Did he really act that immature and childish? Was he really that clueless? Was he really that stupid? Did we really go through that, or was that just a nightmare because I had too much cheese the previous day? Don't eat a lot of cheese. Cheese and alcohol don't mix. You can fantasize incorrectly. I don't know. I have no idea. Well, welcome to the program nonetheless. How are you doing? Good to be with you. It's a crazy thing. Labor Day was earlier this week, for those of you that weren't around. Really, Ron? Labor Day was this week? Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't know where you were. You're probably on the toilet or something. Too much cheese? Is that what it was? Actually, too much cheese would cause the opposite effect. I don't even know what I'm talking about now. Anyway, Labor Day screwed me up. It really did, because now I'm off by one day on everything. On Tuesday, I thought it was Monday. Wednesday, I think, is Tuesday. I'm all screwed up, and this could go on for years like this. The Monday holidays, Mondays seem like Sunday when Monday's a holiday. It's almost like, it's almost like I've traveled to another part of the world and I have jet lag. I don't know what time it is. I don't know what day it is. It's like I've time traveled. Just, where were you yesterday, Ron? Oh, I was back in 1932 in the Amazon. I time traveled yesterday, got away for a little bit. You imagine if time travel actually becomes possible, people will like vacation not just to Myrtle Beach, but to Myrtle Beach in 1932. It'd be amazing. I wonder if there'd be a lot of traffic. If you like bump into other people who are time traveling. I don't know how that works. Here's an interesting story for you. Really, Ron? Yeah, listen to this. I'll do your part as well. You know, I can't hear you. It's radio, so I can't hear you talking, so I will do your part for you. Well, Ron, tell me what's interesting. Okay, I will. Stop arguing with me. I'm not arguing with you. I'm trying to move this thing along. All right, fine. Then just shut up and I'll move it along. Don't talk to me like that. See, I'm doing your part as well. How am I doing? Am I accurate? I think I am. There's an asteroid that's supposed to hit next weekend, September 19th or something like that. I really don't know. Yeah, it's an asteroid, and it's going to pass very close to Earth. Really? What is very close to Earth? 3 million miles. What was that? 3 million miles? No, 3 million miles. Sorry, I said it wrong. Get off my back. It's going to pass 3 million miles from Earth. Wow, that close? I know. That is way too close. Actually, 3 million miles asteroid space terms is not that far away. It's amazing, but it's true. And then, you know, they couldn't forecast this Hurricane Dorian. I hope they get this right on this asteroid that's going to be 3 million miles away. Because one wrong turn, and we're not going to care much about Hurricane Category 5s anymore. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you'll be able to see this asteroid pass from Earth or not. I'm not sure. They haven't told me yet. They will, but I don't know yet. But every time I hear a story like that, that there's this huge... And the asteroid is the size of, like, the Empire State Building. or could be as large as that, they think. It's about the size of a large skyscraper, which I think is pretty big. I think it's pretty big. I guess when you're traveling through space, there aren't a lot of like high pressure fronts coming in. I mean, it's just pretty clear, like there's nothing going on in space. So I guess your trajectory really can't be affected too much at all, if any. And 3 million miles away is considerable. So I guess it's all right. But they have to tell us this, you know. 3 million miles away. Just makes you think, though, it's amazing that these things don't come closer to the Earth, and then we'd be panicking. What would you do? I mean, they tell us how to prepare for a hurricane. How do you prepare for an asteroid? Get batteries? Go to Costco and get a lot of batteries? Is that how you prepare for an asteroid? I don't know. I really don't know. I know how to prepare for hemorrhoids. There's creams and things that can relieve the itching and burning. They make stuff for hemorrhoids. They don't make stuff for asteroids. Actually, asteroids should be what you call hemorrhoids because they're in the ass. That'd be the perfect name for it. I'm suffering from asteroids. I got to get some ass cream. Then that stuff that travels through space should be called hemorrhoids. It's a hemorrhoid 3 million miles away from us passing nearby. Oh my God. How do you prepare for that? With asteroid cream. It's very confusing. It's very, very confusing. I have a great guest coming up a little bit later in the program. This guest has wrote in a book. Did I actually say wrote in a book? Oh my God. This is why I'm not president, because I can't talk. I just do radio. The name of the book is Unprecedented. She wrote a book called Unprecedented. It's about Donald Trump. It was an interview that I did with her almost a year ago now, but it's fascinating always, and it's still as topical. I didn't have to tell you that this was a year ago. You'd say, well, sounds like we're doing it right now. Well, no. She's written a book about Donald Trump, his past and his present, why he is such a douchebag. I think people are wondering that. They're walking the street saying, you know, we've had presidents with all different policy ideas and all different directions they wanted to take the country. But this one's a douchebag. How did the douchebag get in there? Well, it's not a question of how he got in there. It says, what's a douchebag doing there? Once a douchebag, always a douchebag. Someone likes to say the word douchebag a lot, apparently. I think it's a funny, funny title. You know what a douchebag is, don't you? You douche with a bag. You know where you douche, don't you? It's a wonderful, wonderful phrase. So when you call someone a douchebag, it's like really true. You're douching. How many times did I say that word? Wow. I love the phrase. Anyway, he is one. But how did you become one? And our guest says, well, the answer is really very simple. And we'll find that out coming up really, really soon. So that'll be fun. Before we go to that interview, I just want to make sure you're comfortable. A lot of talk show hosts don't give a crap about you. I got to tell you. You know, you subscribe to their little podcasts and you listen to their little shows and they do a little dance for you and you think they care about you. They don't care. All they care about is their own accolades. They just want you to love them. I don't care if you love me or not. I don't love you. Why should you love me? I'm not out for love. I'm out to make money, but in a loving way. So let's just get that straight. I really do care, though, that you are comfortable. I don't know where you are. If you're listening to the show in the car, then this does not apply to you. You keep your eyes on the road. Don't eat a tuna fish sandwich. Don't text. Don't be distracted. Put the pot down and drive, because other people are on the road and they're doing the best they can, and you come along like a douchebag and you're distracted in your driving. Don't do that. Don't shut up and don't do it. So if you're driving, don't listen to me. But if you're sitting in a chair or something in your office or in your house or something, or sitting on a couch or eating dinner or trying to go to sleep, and I just won't shut up, put your feet up, close your eyes, extend the palms of your hands, and say the following. Sigh. Do a sigh. Verbally, do a sigh. It really cleanses you. It does. Let it out of your body. Just like that. They say when you get anxiety that you should breathe deeply and let it out. Deep, slow, determined breaths will lessen your anxiety. This is the same thing, the same theory. Just sit back in your chair and go, Sounds like you've just had an orgasm, but what you're doing is you're just releasing, you're verbally releasing all the negative energy in your body. You're welcome. By the way, you're welcome. No problem. I don't just talk at you. I actually try to make your life better. I know. All right, our guest is going to join us now. We're going to talk about stuff. We're going to talk about this screwy president that we got here in this stupid little White House. It's just crazy, man. It's crazy stuff. Do you like my voice?
Okay, Ron Van Dam may not be the prettiest face in radio, but come on, that voice, am I right? You are listening to Ron Van Dam, the sexiest voice in podcasting, on New England Broadcasting.
Hey, Ron.
Martha Brickenbrough joins us now. She's penned quite a few books on various subjects. This one is of great interest to many. And this is about the man that sits in the White House at this time. We go back in time and we take a look at his past. There are some biographies written about Trump, but this one is quite interesting, actually. What makes this different?
This one is written for young readers, so people ages 12 and up. This, of course, does not exclude adults, but I wanted to have a thorough and well-researched and factually accurate account of the president for the next generation of voters.
Very interesting. And a lot of these, quote-unquote, young people will be voting rather soon.
Millions of them will be voting rather soon. One of my daughters just turned 18 and voted in the November election, and so I have a front row seat.
The book doesn't hold back. It is exactly what it is, including conversations on racism and other foibles that may have come up in this particular individual's past and present. It gets into it, and well, it should, because it is part of it.
It's definitely part of it. And you know, this is one of the things where Trump is not like other presidents.
No,
he didn't serve in the military. He's never held public office. And so really, in order to understand who he is and how he got here, I looked at his life and even a bit of his family history.
It's interesting, because I think that from what I've talked to in my business in the media, it seems like young people are actually more in tune to this person's insides and background than the adults are, for some reason.
I think that there's a lot of truth to this. One of the mistakes that adults often make is to assume that all young people are alike. We know that not all adults are alike, but certainly there is a large percentage of young people who are politically engaged and active. We can certainly see that with the kids who survived the Parkland school shooting, what they've done. And with my own children, after the election, they went out and protested in the streets. And so we definitely have kids who are aware of the world that they're going to inherit, and they want to know what's going on.
Yeah. Thank God those kids actually did go out into the street and express themselves, because I don't think many young adults and teens listen to the older adults anymore, because it's just noise. But when someone of their own generation has a happenstance and speaks out, that goes like right to the bone.
It does go right to the bone. You know, we kids have credibility with each other that adults don't necessarily have, and it's probably because we've squandered it by not being truthful with young people. We have a habit as grown-ups. You know, we don't talk to them about money. We don't talk to them, you know, really about sex. We don't talk to them about a whole lot of things because it makes us uncomfortable. We say, oh, we're protecting the kids. But, you know, nonsense. We're supposed to be teaching kids how to live in the world, and that requires unflinching honesty.
Yeah, well, the world is different now because even adults lived in that crazy bubble back in the 50s, 60s, and broke out a little bit in the 70s and then regressed. But yeah, this is a different time. This is where everything is on the table, whether it's good or bad. It's splattered all over the media, all over the social media. The president himself makes sure that you know every nook and cranny of his weird mind. So yeah, it's a bombardment, and being a if I were a teen at this time, I would feel I'd feel like there's a loose cracked foundation under me, and I didn't feel that as a kid when I was growing up.
Well, I don't know how old you are, but I was of the age where we were worried about nuclear war.
Yes, I was there. Yeah,
you know, there was that movie The Day After, which they played on television back in the day when we didn't have television on demand, so we all kind of had to watch it. Now it really is a bombardment of information, and so one of the things that I wanted to do with this book was choose representative events and representative statements to portray an accurate picture. Yeah.
I guess when you go digging into someone's background and earlier biography, such as you do with Trump, you start to see that he may not be like you and me, and that may that's something a lot of people don't really hear about or dig about, but that's really important because this is a man with weird foundation, and it shakes up a teen's idea of what's real and what isn't real, what's true and what isn't true, what's sexist and what isn't sexist, what's racist, what isn't. I mean, man, how much stuff can you throw at my face at once?
It was a great deal of stuff. You know, there was all this history. And Trump isn't like you and me.
No.
You know, unless you were a toddler with a huge trust fund.
No, didn't happen.
Trump was an enormously wealthy boy. He was a problem right from the start. And after he got caught playing with knives by his dad, he was sent off to a military school. The same one that John Gotti went to. John Gotti, the Teflon Don, the mobster who eventually was brought down by Robert Mueller. So yeah, the twists and turns in this story are incredible. And you know, they're all now here in one place.
Hey, you know, you could have been a great fictional writer and it wouldn't wouldn't have changed anything.
You know what? It actually would have. I also write fiction. I do both fiction and nonfiction. And I was joking with the editor who publishes my fiction is the editor, the U.S. editor of Harry Potter. And I was joking with him that there's no way I would get away with the kind of characterization that real life is presenting us with, because most people are more nuanced. Donald Trump is not actually all that complicated. He's a very rich man who has a psychological need to win, and he will do whatever it takes to win. So it's pretty straightforward.
The interesting thing about your book is that when you go back into this man's past and upbringing and environment, it all becomes kind of clear. And as you use the word yourself, it is kind of simple because it's right there in front of you as to how this really evolved in this man's life. And we talk about this government shutdown and how he has no empathy and no feelings for the people that are going through the hard times. It's because he never experienced anything like that.
He never experienced anything like that, although he certainly was in financial peril of his own making.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. When he was running his businesses, he routinely stiffed contractors.
Right.
You know, so this is, you know, electricians, drywall contractors, people providing pianos for his casinos. He just didn't pay them, or he would give himself a discount that was not fairly negotiated. Which is, you know, because he was a white guy in a suit and tie, he could get away with that. If I walked up to you on the street and I said, you know, give me your money, that's robbery.
Right.
When someone stiffs somebody in a business deal, that's also, it's just a polite form of robbery that people get away with because of the power they have as being, you know, influential white businessmen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's not something that you and I would do. We pay our bills. We pay our taxes.
Correct.
We take pride in that. Trump wouldn't.
No, because we were brought up with morals. And I know in your book, it also shows how he was brought up, which also becomes personality-wise very understandable why he reacts the way he does. We are products sometimes of the way that our environment was when we were little children. I get that. But a lot of us change accordingly. That didn't happen here.
That's right.
And I don't think the man's ever lived. Yeah, come on.
No, we have choices.
Yeah.
And Trump chose to do the government shutdown.
Yeah.
Just like the contractors he didn't pay. He didn't care about those people whose companies he bankrupted.
Right.
And I don't see any evidence that he actually cares about the government employees. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if he said, look at how much money I've saved taxpayers. And this is because he doesn't understand that shutdowns are eventually expensive.
Yeah.
They are not a money-saving tool.
No. Well, if he were ever on Dr. Phil, Dr. Phil would turn around and say, you know, I get your problem, but you've been enabled all your life. And now the country, and especially many members of Congress, are enabling this. And that just never works out. We don't have any more time, but we do have the book, and it's called Unprecedented. And it's available everywhere. Is there a website where we can get some more information?
Yeah, it's just my name, MarthaBrokenbro.com.
Okay, I'm going to spell that for people. B-R-O-C-K-E-N-B-R-O-U-G-H. And fascinating book. Thank you for writing it. And thank you for your time today. It's been a good conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. Well, that's it for today. I found that fascinating. Did you? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Take care of yourselves. Believe me, that's necessary. And then when we meet again tomorrow, we can exchange stories and swap spit. Until then, yeah. Until then, I wish you peace.